Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Lord, show us your word this morning and open our eyes to behold it. Give us seeing eyes, hearing ears, soft hearts to respond to your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. What if you have a motto that you live by, a little phrase that sums you up and how you like to do things, how you see things? So maybe something like, do as you would be done by, or I say it how it is, or God helps those who help themselves. If you believe in yourself, you can do anything. Live and let live. What if you have a motto? Your motto is part of your worldview, and we were thinking about worldviews last week, a map of how you see things and the way things work, the way you think that the whole sort of universe is put together. And some mottos are completely useless, aren't they? Let's face it. If you believe in yourself, you can do anything. What a load of twaddle. What a load of twaddle. I, as a child, wanted to fly with the red arrows. I believe in myself, it's never going to happen. I can't see well enough. It's a ridiculous thing. And every X Factor contestant who gets through and believes in themselves can do anything. There are 1,000 who believe in themselves and didn't get through. Didn't they believe? Of course they did. It's a stupid motto. And the same with some worldviews. They don't work. They work as far as it goes, and then when it comes to it, really, they are useless. Well, today we come to some treasure. Treasure buried in Galatians. No, very, very far, because it's a great book. We come to a motto linked with the worldview of the book that takes us right to the heart of God, to the secret of a new way of living. What is that motto? Well, hold on, because first of all, we'll go back to see these Christians who in Galatia have got the wrong motto. They're going up the wrong path. So here we are in this series in Galatians. We're taking the book in order. Why do we do this? We do this basically because this way you don't just get what David likes you to hear, we get what God is saying to us through the Bible. We take a book and take it bit by bit, and then we see what God is actually saying. Now, occasionally we do thematic sermons to bring in some theme of the day to help us think about that, but mostly we go through these books so that we find out what God is saying. We don't skip the hard bits, we don't just dwell on the great bits, we look at it all together so we don't miss out. And here we are in Galatia. It's around about AD 49. It's part of Turkey, middle south of Turkey. And this is a letter from Paul to the Christians living in the churches in that area. And they've got a problem. A couple of years before, Paul had shared the gospel with them, the good news of Jesus. They'd become Christians and started meeting together in various areas. But since then, some other people have come in with a new idea. And will this new idea help them to follow Jesus? Or will it hinder them in following Jesus? Well, you can sum up this new idea in their wrong motto. Here it is. I keep the Old Testament law, and so God is happy with me. That's their wrong motto. I keep the Old Testament law, and so God is happy with me. Maybe that motto would sound reasonable to them living back in that time, maybe it sounds reasonable to you now. The Old Testament law, that must be God's will. Why not keep it? It's got to be the way, hasn't it? I keep the Old Testament law, and so God is happy with me. Except it's a fundamentally flawed motto, and God has done something bigger and better. It's fundamentally flawed because, like the motto that says, if you believe in yourself, you can do anything, it doesn't really work. I keep the Old Testament law. Well, there's the flaw in itself. No one can do it. And Jesus' summary of the law tells us why. Jesus says, what's the summary of the law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. We just can't do it. Might wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to do it today. Get to 9 o'clock and we've already not loved the Lord in some way. By the way, we've thought about someone, the way we've said something to someone, something we have done or haven't done. We can never keep the Old Testament law. It's fundamentally flawed. And God has done something bigger and better. In Jesus. It's based on the Old Testament law. It fulfills the Old Testament law. And it means you can have all the rewards that would come through the Old Testament law. But it's done through Jesus. And through it, we can please God and have a relationship with him and know him. And it doesn't involve us having to keep the whole of the Old Testament law. So I keep the Old Testament law, so God is happy with me. It's a wrong motto. And that's the motto that's infected the Galatian church. What's the right motto? Well, let me give you a warning before we get there. You might not like it. You might not like it. There are two kinds of people who don't like this motto. The religious and the independent. A religious person likes to do things to approach God. Come to a meeting on a Sunday in a building and do certain things. And that way they come to God. An independent person, a free spirit, and they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They don't have to depend on anyone. Don't want to have to. And if you're religious or independent, then you might not like this motto. So what is the motto? Have a look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the new motto. Here's the motto that is at the heart of God and knowing God and the secret of a new way of living. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's a phrase that can become part of who you are and how you think and your very being. It's at the heart of the worldview of someone who hands himself over to Jesus. But maybe you're thinking as I read it, well, hang on. It's a bit weird, isn't it? I haven't been crucified with Christ. That happened 2,000 years ago. And that was Jesus. He did that on the cross. Well, Jesus has done something on the cross that can become ours, deeply and profoundly ours, in a way that completely changes our lives today and the rest of our lives for eternity. Well, how does that work? Let's go back to the beginning of the passage we're looking at and see how we get here. So in verse 11, and a little title there, Paul opposes Cephas. Cephas is a Greek name for Peter, Simon Peter, the Peter of the Gospels. And in verse 11, we discover Peter has gone to Antioch. This isn't Galatia. What Paul is doing is he's tackling the problem in Galatia by looking at the same problem that happened somewhere else, this place called Antioch. And just as the Galatians have got this wrong motto, so the same wrong motto was going to Antioch. Verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Peter trusted in Jesus, and he used to get on perfectly well with the non-Jews, the Gentiles, who trusted in Jesus. That was absolutely fine. But suddenly in comes this wrong motto, I keep the Old Testament law, and so God is happy with me. And in comes this wrong motto, and he starts to withdraw from the non-Jews because they're not keeping the Old Testament law. And he was a Jew himself, so he could do that. I keep the Old Testament law, so God is pleased with me. And Paul is disgusted with this. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Paul exposes the hypocrisy. Now, what's it all about, this issue? It's all about a word, justification. It comes up in the next few verses. Justification, or being justified. And that word, justified, means being in the right with God, being declared not guilty. So imagine you're in a courtroom before God, and he bangs the hammer down and he says, not guilty, justified. Or, you know the little phrase, it's just as if I'd never sinned, justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. And that's what Paul explains in verse 15 and 16. We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles who don't keep the Old Testament law. Know that a person is not justified, declared right with God, declared not guilty, not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, keeping the Old Testament law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You can't be declared right with God by trying to keep the Old Testament law, because you can't do it. You just can't. It's all about justification, being justified. Now, which of us is justified? Are you? Imagine that I sent a drone around following you. You know, these drones that sort of hover in the air with a camera, following you for the last week. And we've been filming your last week of activities. And in a moment, we're going to wind down the screen and we're going to show your last week on the drone. And as well as the drone, we bugged your house in various places, and in the night, we stuck an implant in your brain to get your thoughts. So we've got subtitles of your thoughts on our drone. That's the screen will come down in a moment and we'll show that. Happy with us to show, happy with that we show the video? No, none of us would we? Because there'd be great things on there. We'd like the highlights, the edited highlights. We'd love that. But the actual rest of it, we say, there's things I don't want you to see. Now, why is that? It's because by our own standards, we're ashamed of some of the things in our lives. And that's by our own standards, not by God's. And God does see it all. So which of us is justified, declared right with God, right in God's eyes? Well, none of us on our own. Does it matter? Does it matter if we're justified? Well, imagine that you hear that your favourite opera is going to be on in London, and you can get tickets for it, and the ticket sale starts tomorrow, and you've got to go online, or you've got to ring up this number at 9 o'clock. So at 9 o'clock, you'll buy your phone, or you've got your computer open, and you go on, or you ring up, and you say, I'd like 2 tickets for whatever your favourite opera is, or whatever place is, and they say, oh, it's going to be £100 each. And you stop for a moment. How much do you want to see that opera? Here's the moment where you discover whether that opera really matters to you. You want 2 tickets, could you take a friend? £100 each, £200. How much do you want to see that opera? Maybe you put the phone down. Not that much. £200? Imagine what I could do for £200. Go on holiday. Or maybe you do. Maybe you buy the tickets. How much do you want to see the opera? How much does it really matter to you? How much does it matter to God whether we're justified? How much was he willing to spend? Have a look at verse 20. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How much was he willing to spend? His whole life. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. He loved us and gave himself for us. He was willing to die for us. Not just £100 ticket. His death for you. How is it possible to be justified, and how much does it matter? Well, it matters, and it's possible through Jesus Christ. It matters because that's the price he was willing to pay. That's how valuable we are to him. And that's how he achieved it. And so 15 and 16 make sense. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So it's by trusting in what Jesus has done that we can be declared right with God. Not just by trying hard, or by coming to church every Sunday for our whole lives, lighting candles, or saying prayers, or reading the Bible. These things won't work, or keeping the Old Testament law. They won't get us far enough. We need Jesus' death on the cross. So the motto, I keep the Old Testament law so God is happy with me, that won't work. Our motto, oh, I try and be good for God, and so maybe in the end he'll like me when it comes to it, that won't work because of that video, which is just our last week, showing us how far we fall short of God. Well, how does Jesus do it? How is it that by faith in Jesus Christ we can be justified, declared right with God? How is it that he loved him, me, and gave himself for me? How does that change things? Well, you have to imagine that he swaps with us, you don't have to imagine, this is what happens. He swaps with us our wrong ways, as it were, for his right ways. What we have done, and what you see on that video in our whole lives, and what God can see, covers us up before God and cuts us off from him. But Jesus is free of that because of his perfect life. And on the cross he swaps. He takes on himself what we have got and takes it off us, leaving us free from it. So how is it possible to be justified? Because Jesus takes on himself what we have done and takes it off us. Now at this stage, someone interrupts Paul, as it were, with a complaint. If you're saying we're all sinners, then surely Christ is promoting sin, they say. Verse 17. And Paul says, well, no, if you try to go back to the law, having trusted in Jesus, which is what they're doing, then yes, you're actually going against what God wants. But just by telling you that the law doesn't work and just shows that you're a sinner, that doesn't actually promote sin. That's stupid. If in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, in other words, we discover that the Old Testament law has made us sinners, not perfect, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. Don't be silly. If I rebuild what I destroyed, by trusting in Jesus, we destroy the need to hold on to the Old Testament law. If I rebuild what I destroyed, we go back to the law, then I really would be a lawbreaker because I'm not doing what God wants. And now we come to this treasure that we've got in verse 19, 20 and 21. The new motto. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Jesus' death fulfills the Old Testament law. He keeps it perfectly. His death is a sacrifice according to the Old Testament law. We trust in Jesus and receive what he's done. Through the law, I died to the law. It's as if we've died with him so that we might live for God. Where does it leave us? Able to live for God because he's died for us. So if we hand our lives over to Jesus, it's as if we're actually crucified with him. The barrier to God is completely destroyed because we've died to sin. And we can say, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is all God's grace. I do not set aside the grace of God, verse 21. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. God gives us what we don't deserve. It's this crazy, topsy-turvy love of God. Everything in life is earned. We pass exams as children, we exam for our driving test, we get money with our jobs so we can pay for our mortgages, we earn everything except for this. We can't earn this. Jesus pays for it completely and freely. It's the grace of God. So this motto can be yours. I have been crucified with Christ. It can be you saying this. I hope it is us saying this. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you know that the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you? It's wonderful to be loved by him. Does your justification matter? Does it matter whether you're right with God? It matters so much. So much that he died for you. Maybe you don't like this motto. Two things in life that's easier to do than to hold on to Jesus. One, another of them works. Two things that are easy to do. One is to be religious, and one is to be independent. It's easier to be religious than to trust in Jesus because it just means doing stuff. Go to church, say a prayer, get baptized, light a candle. They're all outward, and none of them do anything with our justification, the problem we've got. And worse than that, they all appeal to pride, because with every single one of them, we look at ourselves and say, well, look at me. I go to church. Look at me, I've just lit a candle, I've prayed a prayer, whatever it is. Look what I've done. Look what I've done, God. Look at me. And that's really the problem they've got in Galatia. They want to be able to say, look at me. I've kept the Jewish law. And Paul's answer is there in verse 16. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law. End of verse 16. By works of the law, no one will be justified. Religion doesn't work. But there is a God who loves you so much that he's died for you. And he calls you to just hand yourself over to him and rely on him alone. And not on the outward things, which can get you nowhere. And when we rely on him, we can do things in response. We can gather together as his family and rejoice in him. But we're not earning our way to him. We're rejoicing in him. We're growing in him. It's easy to be religious and to hold on to Jesus. It's also easy to be independent. I don't need anyone else. I don't need anyone else's ideas. I don't need any God to help me. But these things are not true. Because there is a God who loves you and has died for you. And he offers you the chance to come home to him. I wonder whether you like this motto. I wonder what your motto is in life. Is it a useless one? God helps those who help themselves. It's twaddle. Saved by grace. Is this your motto? Will you live by this? Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this treasure here in Galatians. This wonderful expression of what it means to be rescued by our Lord Jesus and the new life that he gives us. We pray that you would write this deep in our hearts, that we'd wake up each day knowing this is true for us and living by faith in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.